You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with my good buddy Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, how are you?
Jeff, I am doing well. It's another day talking about the Dodgers with you, so can't complain.
Absolutely. And today we're wrapping up our, what ended up being close to two full weeks of talking about the 2017 season. It was a wonderful season until that very last day. And so we've gone month by month, and today we're talking about October. And actually, October ended on a high note, I guess. October 31st, the Dodgers won Game 6 of the World Series. It was November 1st that sucked. But obviously, we're talking about the postseason in general. And rather than do any sort of recap, we all know what happened. And the last few months, we've learned more and more what should have happened. But rather than just recap that, that's a painful exercise. So we are going to do a little draft of our favorite moments from each series in that postseason. So that's the plan for today. But first, we want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit down on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, so let's start with the NLDS. As we mentioned on yesterday's episode, the Dodgers lost their last six games of the season against the Diamondbacks, which made things scary. Then the Diamondbacks and Rockies played in the wild card game, and the Diamondbacks started... They started Greinke and held back Robbie Ray to start game one of the NLDS. I think anyway, but they both ended up pitching in that game, which was kind of the best case scenario for the Dodgers going into that series, that knowing that the D-backs would have to start Taijuan Walker in game one rather than one of their two aces. And so made me feel a little bit better about the series, but I was still nervous going in. But Vince, what ended up being your favorite moment of the NLDS?
There wasn't too many big moments in the NLDS. It was a pretty general, you know, strong series for the Dodgers. They won it pretty handily. But I think I just have to go back to the first inning of game one. And Chris Taylor singles, and then Corey Seager walks, and then Justin Turner hits a home run, three-run home run, and kind of puts everything out there for the Dodgers, makes a statement for pretty much how the first two rounds of the postseason were going to go, and a whole different Dodgers dynamic that we hadn't really, or at least I had never seen in my lifetime in the postseason, where it wasn't as stressful as it had been before. It was more, hey, these guys are going to do it.
Yeah, and mine is right along those same lines. It was also in game one, but specifically... You know, the Dodgers put up a four spot in the bottom of the first inning in game one. But for me, the big moment was the fact that Taijuan Walker threw 48 pitches and was out of the game after the first inning. That for me, because knowing that even with the D-backs' two best pitchers coming up in the next two games, the D-backs' bullpen is going to be tired. And that was a big deal for me. You know, I didn't realize Zach Godley would end up going, five innings in relief, which kind of saved their bullpen a little bit. But just, I remember being there in Dodger Stadium and seeing the Dodgers are already in the D-backs bullpen up four runs going to the second inning of the series and thinking, okay, this is going to be a good series for the Dodgers. And that ended up being right. You know, the Dodgers, they won that series pretty handily, not the way we had kind of expected them to. Like, they only hit three homers the whole series. The D-backs hit more than that in just game one. I think the D-backs had a total of eight homers, and the Dodgers had three in the series, but...
Yeah, they had four off Kershaw in game one.
Yeah, four solo homers, which was the opposite of my favorite part of that series. Jeff Mathis hitting a home run. There's nothing okay about that. But yeah, the Dodgers just kind of dominated that series, and it was all set in that first inning. So I'm not surprised that you and I both had moments from that first inning that were our favorites. So maybe let's do – yeah, why don't – am I picking first in the NLCS? Are we snaking it, or are you going first each round?
You can go first.
I bet we won't have no, you go first in the NLCS. You go first, and then we'll do our obscure Dodger, and then I'll do my NLCS pick.
All right. Yeah, so we've done stuff similar to this before, and you know, obviously game 5, anything during game 5 should be, you know, the moment. Seeing the Dodgers go to the first World Series in my lifetime, and just the whole game, which, like I said, was stress-free that once they got the big lead. Kike's 3 home runs. But I think I'll go to game 3. Yeah, game 3. Andre Ethier hitting a home run. Didn't play all year. Came back in September, worked his way onto the playoff roster, and against a guy, Kyle Hendricks, who had kind of had the Dodgers number a little bit with his off speed and different type of pitching style. And you know, the Cubs got on the board pretty early with a home run, but then Andre Ethier came back and he kind of delivered on some postseason stuff and hit that home run, and it was just a cool moment. And obviously the Dodgers ended up to win that game, so that was an even better part of it. But to kind of pick a separate moment than the bigger moments, I like that one.
Yeah, that's a really good pick.
Jeff's about to make his NLCS pick, and we both make our World Series picks. So keep it locked on, Dodgers.
I had a hard time. You know, obviously Justin Turner's walk-off in Game 2 was kind of one of the defining moments of the series. And I loved that moment. I loved the fact that it was ugly guy. What's his name? Who gave up the home run?
Oh, John Lackey.
John Lackey. I love that.
Oh, he didn't get the loss.
No, he didn't get the loss, but he gave up the homer. And, you know, I like the parallels between that game and the Orioles wild card game when against the Blue Jays when Zach Britton never got in the game, because that game also Brian Densing pitched and then was replaced by an ugly guy who gave up a game-winning homer. That one was Ubaldo Jimenez. So, you know, I like the parallels there, but for me, my favorite moment of the series did come in Game 5, and it was Kike's first homer, Kike's grand slam, because I've told this story before, but you know, I don't expect everybody listens to every episode, so I'll tell the short version again. But my family and I, we were on vacation down in Moab, Utah, hiking around Arches National Park and doing all that, and so that evening of Game 5, we were actually just walking around Moab, exploring the town. And I was watching the game on my phone as we walked around town, and we went to a little magic show that was set to start at whatever time it was starting, probably 7 o'clock Utah time. And so we're sitting there. We got there about 15 minutes early. We're sitting there waiting for it to start, and I'm just watching the game, and it's close-ish, but the Dodgers have a little bit of a lead. They're up 2-0, and then they go into the top of the third. They score one run. It's 3-0. And we've got just a couple minutes left before the magic show starts. And then the Dodgers load the bases. The Cubs change pitchers. And during the pitching change, I thought the show was going to start and I was going to have to turn the game off. But I didn't. It wasn't quite ready to start yet. And then Kike hits that grand slam right as the magician walks on stage. And so as he's walking on, it's 7-0 Dodgers. And I just have this wave of relief. I can turn off the game for 45 minutes to watch this magic show, knowing that the Dodgers are going to the World Series. And just that moment of relief for me was awesome. I guess I was supposed to do our obscure former Dodger before I told mine, but I just got so excited to tell my story of the magic show and Kike Hernandez's grand slam that, you know, that's all right. So now let's do our obscure former Dodger. This evening, Thursday evening, Clayton Kershaw's Major League debut was on MLB Network, and I was watching it a little bit. And Kershaw in that game didn't get the decision because it went to extra innings and ended, do you remember how it ended, Vince? An Andre Ethier walk-off, of course, because pretty much every game back then ended in an Andre Ethier walk-off. But this one, in the 10th inning, the rally was started by our obscure former Dodger. Leading off, pinch hitting for Takashi Saito was Terry Tiffy. Do you remember Terry Tiffy at all?
I remember his name.
Yeah, I did not remember he ever played for the Dodgers, and that's not surprising because his leadoff single in the bottom of the 10th was his only hit as a Dodger. He had just been added to the Dodgers roster that day. He had been claimed on waivers or something from the Twins, I believe. They added him to the roster. He got a leadoff single to start that inning. Juan Pierre tried to sack bunt him over, instead bunted into a force out to the pitcher. So Tiffy was out at second, then a wild pitch moved Pierre to second, and then after a Mark Sweeney strikeout, Ethier singled to right field. Down the line would have been a double, but didn't need to be a double because Pierre scored easily from second base, and the game was over. But Terry Tiffy, he only had a total of 5 plate appearances with the Dodgers, 4 at-bats. He went 1-for-4. That was his only hit. And then he was DFA'd to make room on the roster for Angel Burroa, and his career was, or his big league career was over. He never made it back to the major leagues after parts of 3 years with the Twins and then 5 plate appearances with the Dodgers. His career was over, and there is not much notable about Terry Tiffy, except that he started the winning rally in Clayton Kershaw's major league debut. So he is our obscure former Dodger.
That's all you really need to know about Terry Tiffy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty much all there is. All right, so now, Vince, let's talk about the World Series. Obviously, both of our favorite moment of the World Series was when the Dodgers won it in 6 games after, Clayton Kershaw had a dominant start in Game 5 because the Astros weren't cheating, and then the Dodgers closed it out in Game 6, and you and I were both in attendance, and it was beautiful. We'll pretend that. But other than that, let's talk about our favorite moments in this version of sad reality.
Again, with the NLCS, there's a lot of different moments I could pick, and that, you know, makes statement. Kershaw's performance in Game 1, Chris Taylor starting, you know, with the home run, a bunch of other stuff. But I was at Game 6. I was at Game 7, too. But I was at Game 6, and, you know, Jock's home run gets remembered. But when the Dodgers were down 1-0, it was actually Austin Barnes, Chase Utley, and Chris Taylor who got the Dodgers on board first with the single hit by pitch. And Chris Taylor's double to right field to tie the game. That was at that moment, you're down 1-0 in the 6th inning at Dodger Stadium in the World Series game. You know, if the Dodgers lose and the season's over. And at that moment, you know, I just felt a lot of the pressure a little bit lifted off. And you kind of felt like, okay, the Dodgers are going to win this. They went on to score right after with the Corey Seager sack fly. And then Jock's home run came a little bit later in the next inning. But that at that moment, it was like, okay, we got this, and we're going to a Game 7. So that's the one I remember. I remember that more than anything else of Game 6 is that little single that went over and just going into a complete state of euphoria, jumping around.
Yeah, that was – Game 6 was a fun game. It was a little scary going in, you know, knowing that this could be the end of the season. I don't think spirits were high because Game 5 was such a crappy game just in every way. It didn't even feel like real baseball. And so it was a weird feeling going into Game 6, but that win was definitely exciting. For me, strangely enough, my favorite moment of the World Series that year actually came in a game the Dodgers ended up losing. It was in Game 2. It wasn't Jock's home run to tie the game, but the next inning when Corey Seager hit his 2-run homer, 2 outs, 2-run homer to go up 3-1. It's the bottom of the 6th. Dodgers are up 3-1. And I remember, like, my thought was the Dodgers are going to win the World Series. They're about to go up 2-0 on the Astros. I know it's the 2 home games. You're supposed to win those games, but a 2-0 lead is a huge deal. The Dodgers are going to win the World Series. And, the rest of that game obviously didn't go as planned, and it ended up being a stupid, dumb, long piece of crap game. But that moment in the bottom of the 6th inning when the Dodgers went up 3-1 on Seager's homer, and just the fact, I mean, Seager, it almost seemed like an accidental homer, like, or a lucky homer, I guess, basically. Verlander was really good that game, and Seager just poked it, and and got it over the wall, and just thinking the fact that the Dodgers had just beat Justin Verlander was such a huge deal because he was their ace, and I was just like, Dodgers are going to win the World Series. And so I still hold on to that moment, even though the rest of the series maybe didn't go the way it was supposed to.
And when you said you were thinking about picking one from the game they lost, I knew exactly what you were going to pick, which is why I didn't mention it in my earlier segment. But yeah, I mean, that's exactly the feeling that was felt. You see, Corey Seager showed emotion, which was already crazy enough. Corey Seager didn't play in the NLCS, came back for the World Series, and did that in Game 2. And like I said, that you just felt like, okay, this is it. Like, this is, it's going to happen. Although, 2-0 didn't guarantee anything, but the Dodgers at that time were not going to lose four of the next five games. So,
yeah,
at that point, that's exactly what you felt. And the funny part is, when that happened, I didn't get to see it live. We were watching at my uncle's house, a bunch of us all together, and their power went out, or the breaker broke, or something happened, and the TV went off. So I'm there live tweeting, so I have TweetDeck up and open, and that's how I first saw that Seager hit home run, via somebody's tweet. And then the TV cut on, I don't remember too long, but we saw the replay after, but I didn't get to see it live. So that's always a trip for me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny how you remember exactly where you were for these different moments. And, obviously all the home games in that series, I was at Dodger Stadium. And so there's a lot of emotion packed into a week and a half in my season ticket seats. Cause I went through all the emotions just in that game. And then, obviously Game 6 and Game 7 were basically opposite emotions. And so a lot of strangers saw me cry on November 1st, but there was a lot of positive. And really it was, the World Series did not do justice to the season the Dodgers had. On Thursday, Joe and Oral had episode 2 of their podcast. Did you listen to that episode yet, Vince?
I haven't got to it yet.
Oral talks about his thoughts on the Astros cheating. And it's a great episode. If you haven't listened to it yet, you should go listen to it. Oral gets emotional. And basically what Oral says is he knows how much winning the 88 World Series has meant to him in his life. Because, every time he meets a Dodger fan, they bring up 1988. And so the thing that upsets Oral the most is that guys like Kershaw and JT and Kenley were robbed of that for the rest of their lives. What Hershiser has enjoyed for the last 32 years because of winning the World Series. And he is very angry that these Dodgers were robbed of that. And I am too. Like, it's, it obviously we're Dodger fans. We care more. I'd be mad no matter who the Astros had cheated out of the World Series title. But the fact that it is my favorite team and my favorite players is frustrating, and it makes me mad.
We've gone through it a lot, but that's basically what it is at this point, and basically, what they've had to come with. And I think, some Dodgers sounded off on that stuff and some Dodgers didn't. But deep down, we know what they're all thinking. We know what they're all feeling generally. Not to the extent that they feel it. Obviously, they have a lot more vested in it than we do. But, yeah, it's just, it sucks. And like I said, the 2017 season, we just talked about it for 2 weeks, and we left out a lot of stuff. And the fact that it might not really ever get talked about to this extent in the future kind of sucks, because there was so much that happened. There was so much that went on, and so much fun and so much emotions. And at the end of the day, it's going to get remembered for what didn't happen and what the Astros did, rather than what could have happened.
Yeah, that season and the 2019 season both really, to me, underscore why I am such a believer in the full season. I'm not a believer in any season that doesn't end in a world championship as a failure, because we got so much enjoyment that summer of 2017 and the summer of 2019. So much fun watching this team. And obviously, hopefully next time there's a season, it will end with the Dodgers holding up the trophy, and hopefully we'll be allowed to have a parade and actually be around each other. And I can't wait for that. But 2017 was, up to that point, the best season of my life. Even 88 ended better, but the actual season wasn't nearly as awesome. And so it's fun to look back on 2017, even though it didn't end well. And like I said, talking with Kyle Farmer the other day, I'm mostly just mad for Kershaw, because Kershaw should have been a World Series MVP and a postseason legend instead of being robbed. So whatever. That's my overall thought on 2017. It was fun in the end, whatever.
At this point, we can't change anything, but we can move forward knowing that, you know, no one will, other than delusional Astros fans, nobody really respects and considers them champions.
Yep. All right. So that's going to wrap it up for today and for this week. We have enjoyed talking about 2017 with you guys. You know, depending on how long this shutdown lasts, we'll probably go over some of the other great seasons in Dodger history. Maybe not quite in so much detail, just because our memories won't be as fresh, but we'll have a lot to talk about. Next week, we're going to be talking about some of the highlights from 2019 and just a lot of different things. We're going to come up with a lot of fun ideas to talk about Dodgers and give you something to listen to every day and hopefully scratch that baseball itch a little bit for you. So thank you for listening. Please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, go ahead and subscribe there to help other people find us. And please rate and review us if you have nice things to say about us. If you have mean things to say about us, you can email us, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter or Instagram, both at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. DMs are open on all of those. You can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text anytime you want. The number is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you later.
And now, tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB. Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!